delighted to be joined in the studio by Lorna Fitzsimons and the wonderful Dane, who was part of the new movie Whale. Lorna, how are you keeping?
How's it going?
Good to see you.
My chair is squeaking a little bit, sorry.
Listen, we managed to squeeze you, and we were going to divide you up into the studio too, but you have to have these all in together because it's such a powerful 7-minute movie that Rebecca and I seen before we came on air tonight, and congratulations to both. Round of applause, first of all.
Very,
wow.
Very, very, very powerful.
Please tell me what it's all about.
It's well, it's a short film, and it's about domestic violence. But to be honest, there's a lots of films about domestic. It's a current, very strong topic, you know, at the moment. But this one, when I read it, was written by Ben Conwan. I was just blown away at how it understood the complexity of the situation, that these issues are not cut and dry. People find themselves in situations and they're trapped. And it goes to kind of really talk about this, the cycle of hopelessness people find themselves in. And that's when, so when I read it, I was like, I have to make this movie.
Because we know you from taking photographs. You are a well-known, renowned photographer in Ireland. Basically, you do fantastic headshots for many an actor. And now you're on the opposite side of what you do. Mm. How did you find that?
I think it's a natural progression. With my photography, I did a lot of fashion, a lot of commercial stuff, mm-hmm. but I definitely found myself wanting to tell stories. I definitely, you know, always found myself with a scenario or a story in kind of my head, and it just grows, and then I ended up kind of in the factory, the actor studio in the factory, working with actors and it grew from there. To me, it's a natural progression.
When did you actually make the film?
We shot the film last year, and then we spent a good bit of time, you know, post-production and sound and everything and score. So it's just literally screened for the first time last week in the Offline Film Festival in Offaly. It was funded by Film Offaly.
Okay.
We shot it in Offaly.
Yeah, in Birr.
Yeah, we shot it in Offaly, and so it was really nice to premiere last week in Offaly.
Because when I seen it, I was kept going, I recognised them areas. Was that Darndale? That wasn't Darndale, no. Was that somewhere else? And I kept, no, this isn't Dublin. But I actually was confused to where it was because it looked powerful.
Yeah.
But it did reminisce of places in Dublin, didn't it? Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? It's an estate.
Yeah.
It's a council estate, and Birr is a beautiful town. It's absolutely
gorgeous. Yeah, it's lovely. I've been to a wedding.
But there's always places, you know, where life is tough.
Yeah.
And so I think we shot it in Offaly, but it resonates everywhere. Do you know what I mean? There's not a huge amount of dialogue in it, because the story resonates.
That's what struck me about the whole thing. I was thinking after there was actually so little actual speaking in it, but it was the use of your filming photography, the use of sound, the music, but the use of darkness throughout it. The actual darkness around it, just your head just knew what was going on. It was quite incredible.
Thank you.
And I don't want to give too much away about it, but
no, I think it's a team. Like in saying that, it's a team effort. Like Joss Foley was the DOP in it, and we had, you know, great conversations before he, you know, to get it exactly the ominous feeling of the whole thing. And then Jed Keller did the score, which really added it. You know, keys the emotional tone. And then Lynn Kirkham did was art director on it. You know, every little part of it kind of added to the story. I think that's what filming is about.
And of course, the story is about a mom who seeks refuge at a women's shelter with her teenage son. Now, we won't go into more detail about it because it will
spoilers.
Kind of ruin it.
Yes.
But one
yeah.
of the main actors in it is here, Dane White O'Hara. Come into the
You're
microphone,
so well,
sir.
Dane.
How are you?
Thanks. All good. All good.
Your first ever radio
actor.
Show. Yes. Yeah. I have to say, what a powerful performance you gave. It was just brilliant. Who cast you in it?
Well, I was cast by Lorna. You know, Lorna.
She saw your stuff.
Lorna reached out and she sent through the script. I sent through a self-tape for it. Mm. And I have to be honest, and, you know, I don't say this about an awful lot of things, but I was quite moved by it, especially, you know, the character. The thing is with this movie that I think it's not controversial, but there's topics in this movie that haven't been explored as well, I think, as well as Lorna's done it. And, you know, from seeing the script and then, you know, acting it out and getting the film all put together, it's just, it really is, in my opinion, it's a really moving film. And I'm not only saying that because, you know, I'm involved in it, but I just think, you know, credit where credit's due. I think Lauren has done a phenomenal, phenomenal job with the film, and I'm just really looking forward to seeing everyone else's reaction to it.
Did you do much research on your part? Because, again, without going into too much detail, you'd have to know what you were kind of portraying, because it gets very sensitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's also, you know, my character in it, he's a teenage boy. He's obviously struggling with his own things as well as his home life. And, you know, growing up, you can relate certain aspects of the character to yourself. Others, I did have to, you know, look into a lot of it because I didn't want to step into something that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I'd never put myself into a position where to try and bring a character to life that wouldn't be authentic. But yeah, there wasn't, I can't say, you know, I sat down and I studied, blah, blah, blah. But I did, I think I put in the research that was necessary, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's evident the way you portray the character.
Well, I appreciate really that. Thank you very much.
Because you actually don't know what way it's going to go. At the beginning of it, which we said, you think that's the direction, but at the end you're kind of going, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And again, we don't want to give too much away.
No,
am I ruining it here?
It's the unpredictableness.
Isn't it?
Really,
and it's like, what?
Yeah.
You're kind of going,
which is like life.
It is. Yeah.
I spent the last 10 years working with people who use homeless services, teaching a photography course, which is nice. But I've seen everything. You know, you've seen all kind of walks of life. And the stuff that happens, you know, really, it knocks you for six. Do you know what I mean? And it's when people find themselves in chaos, their decision making is very difficult. And that's what this kind of is pointing at. And Dane did an awesome job of portraying it. And just when you said I cast him in the thing, he sent me, I had seen a lot of young men for for the role. You sent me a self-tape that floored me. That was actually, he totally took it a different direction than I was thinking, and you know, everyone had gone really high in the emotion early, and you just held back and held back and back, and then wham, and I was just floored by it. So it was an absolute automatically, that's our Keane, you know.
that's your Keane.
See, the Bow Street were involved, is that a Bow Lane? Is that to do with?
Well, no, I've known, been involved in Bow Street, or known kind of the people in Bow Street for a long time, and we've got a lot of support from them.
Wildfire
Films are the ones who kind of produced it. And in Bow Street, we just got a lot of backup. The editor from there, Michael David McKiernan, he edited it, and he is connected to Bow Street. So, yeah, Bow Street are really strong in terms of.
Because no matter how small or how short a movie is, a lot of funding is needed. How did you go about funding the whole thing?
Well, this is what I used to say to our producers. We're 15 grand into our 10 grand budget. Do you know, Filmopoly, I applied to Filmopoly, and they very, they were brilliant, and they kind of, and we got help from a lot of people. You know, once you get the finance, and then we got help from IADT, we got help from a lot of local people. My dad is great, you know, in terms of not money, but but he's the kind of person you ring up and say, Dad, I need you to pick up a bus stop, a full size bus stop, and two people in Bray on your way from Dublin to Birr. Do you know what I mean? And he'd go, what time do you want me to be there, and will I need to pay for it? And I'd be like, yeah, you do. Do you know? So you get a lot of help,
that support there.
Well, it's those, in my opinion, it's those kind of people that make films like this possible. And it's because it's not all about, you know, making a profit out of a thing. This is about telling a story, and it's telling an authentic story, and you really need people who are passionate about projects to drive that. And I think there's a lot of passion behind this.
Dane, how did you work with your mum, Maura, of course? Because
Foley,
tell us your relationship on camera and off it.
Well, brilliant, straight from the get-go, you know. I didn't know Maura before it, and God love her, she was sick when we were filming and stuff, but Maura was fantastic to work with, and I really think the relationship that me and her had kind of translated through the characters and on screen.
Yes.
I hope it did for anyone else, you know.
From the offset. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think from the offset, because you knew something wasn't right when you see the opening scene. Well, first of all, it's dark, and then you go into the opening scene, and then you know something's not right here.
Yeah.
And it just works, and it, the cinematography of it all, and you're following it as it's going through, and you're feeling part of it.
Yeah.
You actually feel like you're part of the story.
Yeah.
So that's how good it is. Mm. But when we're in here, we're kind of going,
wow. It's great chemistry from the get-go. Do you know?
Yes.
It really did. And it was hard because we shot right in the middle of COVID, so it wasn't easy.
Masks everywhere. Masks off. Yeah.
And so it wasn't easy, but you had great chemistry in and even working at the choreography of stuff at the end was really good.
It came very naturally to both
really,
of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, Maura's phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed working with Maura, and I do it again in the Harpy.
So you're going to the Richard Harris International Film Festival where it's going to be screened. Just to be even associated with that is just epic. Wow.
We just got news today though as well. We will also be at the Foyle Film Festival, which I'm very excited about.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
Then a film festival in Mexico. I can't really say which one that is yet.
Wow.
So we might be going on our holliers.
Yeah. Would Cannes be in the making for this next year? Is that where it's going? Do you have to put it forward to all these festivals and then you hear them back, don't you? If it's been accepted or not, is that right?
Yeah, you put it forward, and we've struggled kind of to get there. But I think it's on its way now.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but it will definitely make its rounds because it's one of those films that it will. It just will.
You know, we mentioned earlier about the soundtrack and the music too.
It just like a
hand into a glove. Really? It really did.
Jed Kelleher,
did you have a pull on that?
Jed Kelleher, who's a musician, we worked very closely on that, but he's amazing. I said to him, I want you to make me cry. I want you to, and I knew very much that it was, a lot of people would put piano on that, but I knew very much it wanted to, that I wanted to be quite masculine and quite, you know, guitar, heavy guitar. He was brilliant. He just brought, he'd play these things and I'd be crying in the background going, yeah, that's it. And we did a very, he wrote stuff beforehand and played it, and then when the edit was done he redid it, and then when we did the sound we tweaked everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and he wrote the song at the end, which I just absolutely love.
So what happens now?
We go to a whole lot of film festivals. I'm currently writing the feature version.
Okay.
So this is an exclusive. Yeah, you're actually going to expand it. Wow.
And I'm hoping to get funding. I'm hoping this will help us to get funding to do a full length version, because I think it's a really important story. It's a really important conversation to be having, you know, about the issue. And I'd really like to be the one to tell it.
Yeah, of course. And I, you know, some stories need to be told.
Yeah.
And of course, this is the start of your acting career, Mr. Dane White O'Hara. Your agency is obviously thrilled with you at this particular moment in time. What's going to happen now for you? Are you up for more castings? Is anything happening? Any self-tapes coming in, going out? What's happening?
Well, you know, lots of stuff coming in, lots of stuff going out, just hustling away.
Yeah.
And I'm just, at the moment, I just want to be involved in things that are going to not only further my career, but also give me a lot more experience in, you know, this craft. Because
he won't tell you, something huge coming out very soon. He's going to blow us all out of the water. I'm very excited to see it.
But
he's going all red. But I know you can't say it.
We've
been in the game. We know
it's a work in progress. But,
brilliant.
When it, you know, it's, I'm just basically trying to get my experience up.
Dane, do you mind me asking, how old are you actually in real life?
I'm 19.
Okay.
19. Yeah. So I started acting in 2019, just before the pandemic, in Mark O'Connor's Darklands, which was my first. First stab at it.
Yeah. What a good stab. Excuse the pun.
You know, it was sink or swim. But there's definitely a lot of things I go back and do differently now, looking at it from a couple of years down the line. And
I think we've all done that as well, especially being on like television and Fair City ourselves. We'd look back and go, well,
years ago.
Back in the day.
He had an actual character.
I started off doing background acting work, and then I got a role, so I was playing loads of things.
I remember you as a model and an it boy. Back in the day.
Yes, me and Gavin Murphy. I passed my sash over to Dane now. Officially, it's been given tonight. And no better person to give it to, I have to say.
So Dane, what's your setup at home then when you're doing self-tapes, because that's become the post-COVID way of auditioning?
Yeah, well, it's literally, I tell you no lies, it's me camera and me mother or my father.
Okay. And do you have a light?
Do you have a light?
Use the mic as well?
No, I don't use a mic. It's literally straight off the phone.
It's great, isn't it?
Well, I remember
back in the days years ago, you had to try and download stuff and then take it to MP4, MP3, and then try and re-download it. And
well, it's great you can do that now. There's a lot of, you can really kind of experiment with what you're putting out, and you can. And the great thing I like about self-tapes as well, you can control what other people are seeing.
Yes.
The way with an audition, what comes out is, you know, that's what they're going to see. That's what they're going to take away from it. So if you're trying to project a certain image for, say, a certain character, it's really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. Because you can basically, not manipulate for a better word, but you can put your message through your self-tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you can convey the message.
I prefer self-tapes. I mean, we used to go to castings in the courtyard out in the Ardmore studio. And you know, Lorna, you've seen it before, and you'd be like, but when you're doing your self-tape, I mean, you get an option of picking the best one ever before you do, and then you send it in, you kind of go, hopefully that's going to win it for me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so you kind of feel a bit more confident rather than.
A bit more creative as well.
Yeah, because when you make an audition, you kind of you really are hard on yourself. You really are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Whereas you do a self tape, that's a good bit. Send it in. You know you can do it. Well, otherwise, you wouldn't be asked to do the casting.
That's exactly it. Yeah. You know, the only thing I do prefer about auditions is you immediately know where you're standing when you've come out of it.
That's true. Yeah, 100%. There's that uncertainty.
You know, there's a lot of sitting around and waiting with self tapes. A lot of it. You know,
loads of it.
A lot of times spent waiting.
For a director, there's pros and cons to both as well.
What would you say, Lorna?
You need to. It's really good to meet someone in a room and get a sense of them and get a sense of, can you communicate?
The feel of them.
And you've got a direction.
And do they take direction?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like but at the same time, you are aware that they can be nervous or fluff things up or have a shit day or, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes self-tapes are. But I've seen self-tapes be, someone does an awesome self-tape and then show up and not.
So it's a bit of both.
It's dangerous either way, you know.
So what you're saying, us old actors are better off doing it.
Because
at this stage now, when we go for castings, when we do like Dane, it's just like, as you rightly said, you know if you get it, you know if you don't. Yeah. You have that feeling, but you just kind of do it because you've done it so many times before. Mm-hmm. Like you really have. Mm-hmm. So it's a new way.
Yeah, go in, do it, and get out and forget about it.
And that's it.
It's a surprise
that's
if you get
exactly
it.
What
and
I
wait
like
for the phone to ring. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, it doesn't ring, you haven't got it. You know what? After about 3 days.
Exactly.
Dane, I wanted to ask as well, regarding doing self tapes, do you find you lose the momentum and the realness of it if you do it too many times? So maybe better off maybe fluffing a line and sending that one in because you were more in character or it was more real rather than doing a really rehearsed self-tape a few times later.
Yeah, it's,
and it becomes acting.
It's definitely more like, you know, I'm terrible at, you know, doing so many takes, and then it will either be the very last one or the very first one, and it's never the ones
I agree with you.
You'd be sitting around for sometimes hours trying to perfect something.
Yes.
And you know, it's very tolling on the people who are trying to help you out and stuff like that. So you can be very lucky with, you know, some people reading with you know.
And as you said, the first one, Rebecca would always pick the first one. Yeah, do the first one.
And then they just say, no, don't be too loud. They're like, what do you mean? I'm not the one who's auditioning. I do, but it doesn't matter what volume I'm at.
Yeah.
But Lorna, back to you for a second. I want to ask you about working with people in homelessness, learning photography.
Yes, yeah. Through the Foundations project in the CDET. Well, I do it through the CDETB, and it's the Foundations project. Yeah, it's for the last almost 10 years. It's only a small course, kind of. But, and you think, why the hell are people, you know, are you teaching them photography? Why wouldn't you? I always used to think, why don't you teach them something more useful?
Yes.
But to be honest, it's been the most rewarding job I've ever done in my life. You're giving someone a creative outlet for, you know, a tiny escape from the shit in their life. one, it's a way back into education for them. Mm-hmm. In a nice way. So, and they go on to do other courses and stuff like that. And two, you're giving them an outlet. I've seen people who have very troubled lives, you know, and if you give them positive reaction, positive feedback, a way to create something, and it's like the response is unbelievable. I've had one guy go on to college, full blown college, and, wow. and kind of do it, and send me the most beautiful letter to say, you know, thanks, and wow. and I changed his life and all yeah. that, and it's so rewarding. But even just giving relief and kind of an escape to people on a small scale is they're so real. People are so real, you know. Kind of working in fashion or a thing can be, you know, very elevated. Whereas this is totally down to earth. Mm. I kind of love it. It's one of the, you know, jobs that I've had or that I do that's a small part of what I do, but I love it.
And what's happening now for you going forward? Are you going to continue doing the fashion shoots in direction? Is this the way you're going to do the two of them, juggle the balls, as they say?
I have been juggling those balls for years. I'm trying to step back a little bit from photography. Right. I shouldn't say that. My agent would kill me for saying that.
But your work is amazing.
I'm really like, I've just been to Mexico on a screenwriting lab, and I've got two features and a TV show that I really want to get something funded.
So you're writing.
I'm writing and I'm
screenplays.
Yeah, and trying to direct as well. So I think the pandemic made me realise and reevaluate life and what I really wanted to do, and I think I'm heading, you know, I'm going to take some time off from photography and really concentrate on writing and directing and getting some.
Did you do that? Did you take the shot of the? Yeah. Yeah, you did. It's great, isn't it?
Of course,
it's brilliant.
It's really handy to be able to confirm that.
Yes.
So if people want to see it, how can they see it?
Yes.
Initially, like the film festivals, there's a run of. Actually, check out my Instagram, Lorna Fitzsimon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Bill Bailey. Waiting for the plug to
there
come
you
in.
Go. Back off you. I said that on the radio. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'll be posting things. It's a lot of the film festivals. Hopefully, there'll be film festivals in Dublin. People can see it.
Yeah, the version film festival is always in February, isn't it?
Yeah. So fingers crossed we'll get into stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But I'll be posting on my Facebook and my Instagram as to where you might see it. If anyone manages to get to a festival, come along, say hello. We try and be at that, and have a conversation. And if it's a subject that has affected you, please do come and say hello and kind of, you know, we can discuss things. And I would be very interested in doing some community screenings and maybe having some conversations. You know, hopefully it will bring some stuff up.
And Dane, if anyone wants to follow your work going forward, can they look at you on your social media pages or what you have, or your agent?
No, I'm going to have to do a shameless plug. But yeah, you can catch me on Instagram at Dane White O'Hara. It's just my full name.
Lovely.
White with a Y, not an I.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's where I you know, I don't like to put out too much stuff, but if it's important, it'll be up there.
Shy.
That's it. Well, lads, I have to say, Rebecca, do you want to?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about Ben Conway as well, the writer. Is this one of his first
No, Ben's got a good few. I met Ben in the factory, which was then Bow Street. He's a brilliant writer.
He used to teach drama and dance there.
Oh, brilliant. That'll be wearing.
Yeah, probably,
there
yeah.
There you go. So I met Ben there and no, he's got a number of shorts out at the moment. He's done a feature. Ben's an amazing writer.
So someone to really watch out for then.
Completely. I think he's won a ZB Award recently. And I know he's stuff in production in the UK. He's definitely one to watch. And he's also brilliant to work with. Do you know what's the nice thing? I said to Dane before, I had a conversation with Ben and he said he was really pleased with how the short turned out. How we visualise it, and that as a director, like I've seen a lot of writers be disgusted at how a director visualised their baby or their work. So for me, I feel like it's really job done. You know, when he kind of has come back and said he loved it, so I was floored by that, which is really nice.
Why did you call it Whale?
It's part of the it's the enormity of the kids' problems and the
and
it's a childish picture of a whale, so it's the whole idea.
It's featured in it.
So
very clever the way it's
very
So it's about growing up and problem seeing massive.
So hashtag whale. Everywhere on social media tonight. And listen, you have to say Maura, she was amazing as well. So will you tell her that we say congratulations on this movie? And of course, Dane, you played the magnificent part.
Thank you very
much. And Rebecca,
much.
Look, it's just great to have the two of them in today. It really is. And
thanks
if you're listening to this particular show, I know the podcast will go up in the next week or so. Please go and get to see it at the festivals. Just one more thing about the Richard Harris International Film Festival. When's it on?
It is on the, I think it's the 9th to the 31st or something like that. They haven't put out exactly when we'll be screening, but I think we'll be screening on that weekend, so the end of October.
Will people have to pay to see it?
They will, but they'll see a number of shorts, and it's quite cheap. It's usually not a
I'd pay to see it, I have to say.
Are they going to be live streaming, I wonder, from any of the festivals? It'd be interesting to see if they do or not.
Not the ones we're in at the moment, but there could be. And I will post the living daylight.
I thought they did something very interesting for the Richard Harris Film Festival this year as well. There was a competition for monologues.
Yes,
but they were choosing monologues to go through for that as well, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
So I'd love to go down to it. It's Cork, isn't it?
No, it's Limerick.
That's
really
one right.
That's really
responsible.
Not as far as Cork.
No, it's even closer than Richard Stewart.
Limerick's a great spot. It's a beautiful place. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
I know,
They love you down there.
I met the Cranberries down there. Imagine.
Oh, brilliant.
That's a while ago.
It was a long time ago, it was early, late 90s.
All right.
Well, Lorna Fitzsimons, director of Whale and actor, Dane White O'Hara, thank you so much for being on the Art Show on Your FM. Tell Maura Foley, she's amazing too. The best of luck with us. I hope you're going to smash the awards ceremony when they do happen next year.
It's so powerful.
Because
it's so much.
Deserves to be in the award, and so deserves to be in a movie as well. And I know it's going to be tough for you to make a movie out of this, but no doubt you'll smash it again. You'll get there. And please come back to us again when it's all put together, when you do get the awards, the iftas. All right, guys, thank you so much for appearing on the Art Show on Air FM 90.3.
Thank you.
Thank you.